The Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Got a scheduling change to let you know about. Brian Baldinger will join us coming up at 8:40. So that's coming up in just about 40 minutes. You want to keep listening for that. Right now, we're joined by our pal Dave Richard on the BetQL guest hotline. He's delivered by our friends at Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Fantasy moves? Ask Dave. For all of your other moves, let Metropolitan Moving and Storage do the heavy lifting and take it to the house. Check them out at DCMetropolitanMoving.com.
Just saw my guy Justin from Metropolitan Moving and Storage on Saturday during a soccer game.
Very good. They will take care
of you. Good dudes. They're local guys.
Dave Richard will take care of you with all of your fantasy week five questions. What's up, Dave? Good morning.
Ask me for miracles like Mark Andrews catching a pass.
He wasn't ready for that one. He was so surprised that the ball was thrown his way, huh?
You mean you don't want me to block? Oh, my gosh, you're throwing a pass my way? No, I mean, you know what's going on in Baltimore is that Derrick Henry is just becoming a funnel for the offense because defenses can't stop him. And it's taking away pass attempts for Lamar. Plus, Lamar's going to run. And it's crushing Mark Andrews. It's crushing Isaiah Likely. It's been hurting Zay Flowers, too. Go look at his last two games. You think those are numbers that you feel good about for fantasy? And the Ravens don't care. You know why? Because they're winning. And so I can't help but think that it's going to be tough sledding for however long Derrick Henry is running over people, which might be until the end of time.
Hey, Dave, I'm just on your boy Jamie Eisenberg's wide receivers to sit or start list. Yeah. Start him or sit him. And I know we've talked about him in the last couple of weeks, but his bust alert, Tyreek Hill. So my question is, are you still advising people to play him? Unless they obviously have a much better plan at receiver, or are you looking to bench him? And I don't know. I'm just trying to think. I've got like Keenan Allen I can play over him, but would you advise Keenan Allen over Tyreek?
No. Let me tell you what I saw when I watched the Dolphins play last week. Besides crap, I saw Tyler Huntley not have timing with his receivers, and it makes sense, right? Tyler Huntley has only been with the team at that point for like 6 days. Probably got in only three practices with the receivers. So the timing was off. He wasn't in sync. There was a throw. If you watch the game, Tyreek was open on what would have been a 77-yard touchdown, and Huntley actually overthrew him on the play. I was surprised that the arm strength was that good. I'm thinking, and I kind of saw this in the second half against Tennessee, he started to make connections a little bit better. It wasn't for 77 yards or anything like that, but he started to make some better throws. I'm thinking with another week of practice, Tyler Huntley will be closer to being on the same page with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. I'm not saying he's got a great arm and great accuracy and all that stuff, but I think he'll be better than he was last week. It's a game the Dolphins can actually win because the Patriots' offense is so brutally bad. Mm-hmm. I'm going to roll with Tyreek another week. I've lowered expectations. I think of him as a number two wide receiver. And, yeah, if you've got guys, let me look at my rankings real quick. If you've got Stephon Diggs, you have to start him over Tyreek Hill. If you've got Marvin Harrison, you've got to start him over Tyreek Hill. Jaden Reed, Terry McLaurin, even Brian Thomas. I really like Brian Thomas this week. But you're talking about Keenan Allen, who might be good for – yeah, what's his ceiling now, Bish? It's like 12
13 points. Yeah.
Yeah, like I might as well take my chances with Tyreek, who can get that in one play.
Yeah.
So Tyreek Hill's still a top 24 receiver.
All right, so that's a good segue into my next question. Different league. I need two. Jackson Smith, Jawan Jennings, and Jaylen Waddle.
And that's an even grosser question. But to me, with Jennings, I can't anymore. We know that Debo's back, and Debo probably needed to kick some rust off last week. Kittle's there. Ayuk is due. He's overdue for a big game. Jawan Jennings' ceiling is even lower than what we were talking about for Keenan Allen. I would sit him.
So you got so you want Waddle and Jackson Smith. All right.
Dave, this is from a Junks listener at OJ Graham. Mahomes or Geno? It's come to this.
It has come to this, and I'll tell you what. I think Geno's the answer. Geno's got the easier matchup against the Giants. He's back at home. Great receivers. His receivers can make plays after the catch, most notably DK Metcalf. I think it's a good matchup for Geno compared to Mahomes. And the thing with Mahomes, I tweeted about this yesterday, something like his last 20 games, he's had a ton of pass attempts. He's had the opportunities to put up huge numbers. he just hasn't gotten it done. In the playoffs, a little bit of a different story, but in the regular season, he just hasn't needed to do it. And I'm not sure if he's going to have the chance to do it against New Orleans. I've got Mahomes 14th. It's weird seeing him. It's weird as hell that seeing him behind Sam Darnold in my rankings. If you had told me before the season that Sam Darnold would be ranked ahead of Patrick Mahomes in anything, I would have expected you to slap me across the face twice. But now we're seeing it. Darnold's been playing better. This is a game of stats, not who's going to be in the Hall of Fame someday. Darnold over Mahomes this week.
DeAndre Swift, Zach Moss.
I'm running right back to DeAndre Swift. And I know
you're going
that,
back. That's what Cakes told me to do, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with Cakes on this one. Listen, the thing that I saw from Swift that I really liked last week was 7 targets and 7 catches. That was a change in his role from the first 3 weeks of the season. And only 3 of the catches were on design plays, but 3 of the catches were on design plays, and then another 4 were on dump-off passes, and that's a difference in Caleb Williams and how he's been playing. When Caleb has played before, he holds the ball too long, he's looking further downfield, he's trying to make a Superman play. We've seen it from him since his days at high school in your neck of the woods. Now he's learned from the coaching staff, okay, it's cool to check it down. Live to see another play. Don't take another hit on your body. And that's what he did. And it benefited the Bears. It benefited Swift. And the Bears went from using 3 running backs to 2. And Swift was one of the 2, and he still played 2/3 of the snaps. So I think DeAndre Swift is good to go.
Real quick, before we get to the calls, do you think Malik Nabers plays?
Oh, if he doesn't practice today, I would lean toward out. The fact that he had the concussion a week ago, and he's still in the early stages of the protocol, and the Giants are definitely going to take their time with him, man. He's so important to their offense, to their future. There's no way they need to rush him back, and they can't rush him back. It's the concussion protocol. The league won't let them. So if he's sitting out today again, I would expect to not have Malik Nabers. And so if you're debating between, oh, man, this sounds terrible, but Malik Nabers versus Darnell Mooney, and those are your only 2 choices, Mooney plays tonight. You're probably going to start Mooney.
All right, let's head to the MGM National Harbor listener lines. People are lined up waiting to ask Dave a bunch of questions.
All right, let's go to Frank in Richmond. Frank, what's up, buddy? You're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, what's up, Dave?
What's up?
Hey, I'm in a standard league. I've got both Rashad White and Bucky Irving. What do I do about that this week?
I would start Bucky Irving if the catches don't count. And the reason why is because I think he's made inroads on being the Buccaneers' lead running back. He's faster than Rashad White. His efficiency is through the roof. You can look at the box score and see that they both got the exact same amount of yards on the exact same amount of carries last week. But Irving is the one who's been more consistent from play to play. That's what the coaching staff is going to look for. They're not going to look for fluke runs from Rashad White. And on top of that, the coaching staff gave they gave Bucky Irving a couple of chances to score from inside of 3 yards, and he did. So I think that there's going to be a real split moving forward between these two running backs. I would not expect to see Bucky Irving on the field if the Bucs are trailing in the second half. That's going to be more of a Rashad White gig. But to me, Bucky Irving is the one you'd want to start tonight.
Good luck, Frank.
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy. Let's go to Pastor Jacques. Hey, Jacques. What's up, bud? You're on with Dave Richard.
Good morning, fellas. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, got a quarterback question for you, Dave. Am I crazy to start Justin Fields over Kyler Murray this week? Fields has got, I think, a friendlier matchup, and they seem to be trusting him a little bit more with the offense the last couple weeks. It's a weird, you think just you fall in love with the name Kyler Murray, but is that a legit swap out?
Yeah, I would do it. Fields has been playing better. He's still making some mistakes from game to game for whatever reason. Like, I would love to see one full game where he doesn't fumble a snap. I don't know what the hell I'm trying to say there, but you get my point.
We know what you mean.
He's still making some mistakes, but look at the upside of what he can do as a runner, and he's been throwing the ball pretty well. And think about the matchup against the Cowboys this week. This is not going to be your typical Cowboys defense. No Micah Parsons. No DeMarcus Lawrence. You're taking away their 2 best pass rushers. So there's not going to be as much pressure, theoretically, on Justin Fields this week. So I like him with the upside versus Kyler Murray, who not only has a terrible track record against the 49ers, he's had a terrible track record this year. Under 17 fantasy points, 3 of his 4 games. There's something off with how he's performing right now for the Arizona Cardinals.
Would you play him or Darnold? Murray or Darnold this week?
I've got Murray one spot ahead of Darnold, but I am open to changing that opinion. I just don't love the matchup for Darnold against the Jets in London. There's a lot of factors. And Darnold kind of feels like he's due for a bad game. But Kyler Murray's been giving us bad games, too. For now, they're back-to-back, right on the border of my top 12.
And, Dave, the weird thing about Murray, you look at his splits, like his first drives have been really good, including the one against Washington.
Then he just dies.
He just falls apart. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've noticed that in the second half, he really hasn't looked very good particularly. Yeah. And that's just as much on the play caller as it is on Kyler Murray.
Dave, Chase Brown or Braylon Allen?
Chase Brown.
Okay.
Boy, did I love watching him play last week. Not only do I like him, it's close this week. I'm going to make an adjustment in my rankings, but I think that Chase Brown is going to be the lead back in Cincinnati eventually, too. He just looks better than Zach Moss. Could be a similar situation to what we'll see in Tampa, where Chase Brown works running downs, Zach Moss works passing downs. As it stands, last week they were rotating drives. And the only time that we really saw Zach Moss in a locked-in role was the two-minute offense and most of the third downs. But otherwise, they were mixing and matching both backs. And I don't love the matchup for either one this week, but if you have to make a call, Chase Brown is the one.
All right, let's go to Kyle in Edgewater. Kyle, you're on with Dave Richard.
Hey, Dave, what's going on? I'm in a half-point PPR. I need three of these players, Pittman, Pickens, Shahid, and Higgins.
I'm going to sit Pittman if Anthony Richardson plays. If it's Joe Flacco, then I think I'm going to end up sitting Higgins, I think is the other guy that I would advise. But we won't know about that until Friday.
All right, let's go to Donnie in Mitchellville. Trade offer. Go ahead for Dave.
Dave, man, am I dumb? I picked up Justin Fields. I got Darnold, and I've been starting Josh Allen, man. But I feel like he's slipping. Is it dumb to trade Josh Allen and Jamar Chase for Saquon?
No, that's a lot to pay for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, you're giving up a lot there.
You're doing somebody a favor. They should at least take you out to dinner first.
Yeah. I see what you're getting at.
I tried to give him A-chain. He wouldn't take A-chain, so he came back with Chase. But all right.
Don't do it. You're going to get ripped off.
That's too much, yeah.
Thank you. And I play him this week, so yeah. Thank you, sir.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
You're welcome.
All right, speed round time. We're up against it. No stammering, stuttering, small talk, or shaky voice allowed. No dumb questions. No Bluetooth or speakerphones allowed. And don't disrespect Dave's advice.
All right, let's go to Zach. Speed round, go.
Full point, PPR, flex, Jalen Waddle, Wandale Robinson, Jerome Ford, start one.
Robinson.
Let's go to Scott. Speed round, go.
Geno or Kirk Cousins? I'm going to get the papers.
Geno.
That made me laugh. This is a random Goodfellas reference thrown in. I laughed. Oh. I'm stupid.
We got another Scott. Baltimore, speed round, go.
Half point PPR flex, Roma Dunze or Yoshi Voss?
Dunze over Yoshi Voss.
Jack, Annapolis, speed round, go.
Half point PPR, sit one. Hunt, Harris, Ford, Rashad White.
I'm sitting Kareem Hunt, but it's a close call between him and Rashad White in half PPR.
Let's go to Carlos, Ashburn, speed round, go.
Burrow or Darnold, and Purdy or Baker?
Purdy over Baker, Burrow over Darnold.
Andre, speed round, go.
In the lead, I need one. Diggs, Kirk, Adams.
I don't think Adams is going to play.
I don't think Adams is going to play.
Diggs, baby.
Yeah, I don't think he's wearing silver and black ever again.
Yeah, you gotta go not. Diggs.
Let's go to Matt. Stafford, speed round, go.
Tutu Atwell or Zay Flowers?
And it's come to this for Zay Flowers. I'll still take my chances with Flowers over Atwell.
Joseph, speed round, go.
Alec Pierce, Braylon Allen, flex standard.
That one I'll go with Braylon Allen over Pierce.
Carlos, speed round, go.
CJ Stroud or Geno Smith?
Stroud.
Chris, speed round, go.
Slow on the trigger. Out in West
Hank,
Virginia.
Speed round, go.
Gene Willis or Judy? PPR.
I missed the first name.
Who was the first one?
G. Wilson. Wilson or Judy.
Garrett Wilson.
Garrett Wilson.
G. Wilson. You don't
hang up for know the player's name.
Garrett Wilson.
You're confusing everybody.
Yeah.
And Wilson over Judy.
Yeah.
Let's go to Charles. Speed round, go.
C.J. Stroud, Jason Daniels, PPR.
Jason Daniels?
Jason, dump him.
Okay, that's it.
I'll go with Jerome Danielson over K.J. Stroud.
Are names that hard for people? I guess they are. Dave, thank you as always. May all of your... Oh, I think John DePompa's making a late bid.
Is he trying to sneak in?
He snuck it in.
I don't know. John, what's up, bud?
Sounds so enthused,
hey,
DB.
Dave, at the buzzer. Sorry. PPF League, Dave, points per flop. What's a bigger flop, Megalopolis or JP's feet on the treadmill?
Ooh. JP does make big sounds on the treadmill. Yeah. He's a stomper.
He is a stomper.
He's kind of retired now. Yeah. My ortho told me to alter my life activities.
Ah, very good.
I could have told you that about 15 years ago.
Dave, thanks as always, man. We'll talk to you again next week,
I'm an uphill walker now.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank
go
you,
get
Dave.
That 5-0 win, everybody. Good luck.
We're trying.
Right. Thank you, pal. All right, don't forget Brian Baldinger will join us coming up at 8:40. But I believe we're getting into EB's entertainment page. Do that next here on the Fan. Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger will join the show in just about 15 minutes. It's coming up at 8:40. But time now for EB's entertainment page. It's driven by BMW of Fairfax.
That's right, Cakes. He may not be the most interesting man in the world, but Mike Walker over at BMW Fairfax has no interest in charging you interest, just 2.99% of most X-Series models. I've got the X5. My buddy just bought the i7 for a limited time only. Great deals on electric cars, all that great stuff, military incentives. Find out more at BMWFairfax.com. This is a weird story. The thing I don't understand is, so Barry Sonnenfeld, who directed Men in Black, Cakes, he's a very famous director.
Okay, recognize the name.
He has a new book out called Best Possible Place, Worst Possible Time. And I don't know what the point of the book is, but he tells a story that when he was filming Men in Black with Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones, they were in a car filming a scene. You know, they used to drive around in the car, or whatever.
Okay, I don't know. I've seen Men in Black. You don't remember? Haven't seen it more than once.
He said there was one time where they were in there and Will just ripped one.
Okay,
and it was so deadly that he evacuated the set for 3 hours.
What?
And he just said, I guess part of it was because they were in a 3-hour small
fart.
Area. And they said that this is the part I don't get. Will is a lovely guy. He just works. He says, some do, some don't. Who doesn't?
No.
Maybe he says.
Everybody does.
Of course everybody does. Right?
There's different frequency. You and Cakes blast far more than Jason and I.
I think I've curtailed it for the most part in studio. I try not
to.
Maybe he's saying some do more on set than others. So clearly.
I actually don't know that Jason ever farts really during the show.
I do. You just
very infrequent.
You just don't smell it.
How many do you think you rip in a day? What's the average person?
I don't know. Certainly double digits.
That's kind of girly.
Don't you think?
If you're a dude and your farts don't smell, it's kind of girly.
Well, I mean, sometimes they probably do, but sometimes
they're probably healthy though.
Sometimes they don't. I don't know what to tell you.
I think when it's really smelly, it means your gut's all messed up.
Yeah, it could be.
It's not very masculine to have.
All right, I'll work on that. I'll work on that for you.
Cakes, you're
what
always,
do I got to eat more of?
I don't know.
You're always into this
chili.
All right.
You'll probably be all over this, but Pink Floyd, they sold their music catalog. God, I wish we had a catalog. Man. Can we sell the Junkies catalog?
I'd love to. All those reel-to-reels, they've got to be worth something.
Can we sell it to Spotify?
Is there a rich mega P1 that we don't know about that just wants to buy all of our old material?
Didn't Valdez hijack a bunch of those? I think he's got them.
They'll have them. They're in the locker.
I think it's his secret retirement account.
That's my slush fund.
All right, so Pink Floyd's entire music catalog is up for sale.
They sold it.
They sold it. All right.
Their music catalog and their name and likeness rights.
They sold it.
Does not include publishing rights, which still belong to the songwriters.
$500 million.
I think that's light for Pink Floyd's catalog.
Always bet against Cakes.
Yeah.
$400 million.
It's still a handsome amount of money.
$400 million
for another brick in the wall.
I mean, I'm not a Pink Floyd person, really.
Yeah.
How many How many sillies did they have?
Oh, a lot.
I mean, they
a billion.
Comfortably
sillies.
Numb's really? A good one.
Is your dad a big Pink Floyd guy?
He likes them, but I don't think he was a big Pink Floyd guy.
I've never been the biggest Pink Floyd guy, but I mean, they have a huge impact on music in the last 30, 40 years. Big with the stoner crowd, Pink Floyd.
Oh, is that what it is?
Big with the stoners, yeah.
My buddy was in a Pink Floyd tribute band in Italy.
Really?
I guess Pink Floyd travels internationally famous.
Didn't Dark Side of the Moon like chart on the Billboard charts for like...
years?
I want to say like 10 or 15 years. Like it was there every single week.
Is that what... what's the name of this one?
This is Money.
Money.
Mold.
Money. Mold.
Mold.
Man, I just don't have a good file on Pink Floyd.
Well, yeah, they're not your thing.
Not my thing.
You've heard we don't need education.
Are they in the 80s? They're in their 80s, aren't they?
The guys from Pink Floyd? Yeah. Probably
early 80s.
I would guess.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
I'm going to guess Mike Marr has zero file.
No, remember, he's an old school guy.
He's heard this.
Yeah, but I don't think he knows much about Pink Floyd. I'm going to guess he's not really into them.
I got a couple up my sleeve.
Okay.
I mean, don't know the entire catalog, but just the main hits.
He knows we don't need no education.
It's Another Brick in the Wall is the name of the song.
Yeah.
You keep saying we don't need no more education. That's just wrong.
That's like the lyric you say all the time.
Right.
Whatever.
Hey, Cakes, are you going to put on Dark Side of the Moon to Wizard of Oz in honor of them?
I've heard. Well, what is that bit? I've heard that bit before, but what exactly does it entail?
The record.
Okay.
Like at the opening credit scene of Wizard of Oz.
Oh, you mean one of the top five films of all time, that Wizard of Oz?
Yes, and it's and the soundtrack is like basically in tune with the movie.
Okay.
I've heard that.
I've never done it, obviously. I'll do that at some point.
All I know is that like the famous Pink Floyd album, you know, that like you said, Dark Side of the Moon, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
It was one of those original albums that was like digitally remastered with like the high def audio and everything. And so audiophiles were buying it. And remember, that was supposed to be the next thing, like high definition audio. And then they started doing like streaming and the quality's mediocre and no one cared.
How's that high def radio working out?
HD radio?
Nobody cares. Anybody?
Nobody cares.
Crickets. Hard to find sometimes. Hey, Drab reminded me, he brought up a good point. You start the record when the lion roars.
Okay.
For Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Like the MGM lion or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The one that needs courage.
Yeah. Like this line that's on my hat.
And that lion roars.
All right, Valdez, I know where you stand on this, but... I don't know. Maybe the other boys can chime in. There's a woman. Her name is Louise Glover. Okay.
Yep.
She's 41 years old. Still attractive. At one point in 2006, she was Playboy's Model of the Year.
Okay.
All right. She lived in Hugh Hefner's mansion. She was one of his girls.
Playboy mansion. Yeah.
Yes. But then her fortunes changed in 2010. She was someone who was raised in foster parents, so she doesn't really have family.
Okay, yep.
She's now, at the age of 41, living in a tent.
No way.
In a rural part of England. Because her modeling gig, she's 41, you know, she's aging. She's still a beautiful girl, but, you know, 41.
Mm-hmm.
Modeling gigs are drying up. And she refuses to do anything pornographic. Everyone's saying, well, just start an OnlyFans.
Right.
She refuses to do it. She'd rather live in a tent.
Wow.
Tents are terrible.
Living in a tent.
Camping, even a tiny house.
Camping is tiny so house would be overrated. Better.
How come she can't just get a regular job? I mean, she's a good-looking woman.
Yeah, she.
Someone would hire her.
Beautiful woman. But her thing is, she's a model. She's been a model her whole life.
Right, well, those days end.
Yeah, so
she doesn't have a skill set or anything?
I guess not. I don't know. She was living at Hefner's $100 million Playboy mansion.
There's no chance it's worth that now, is it?
No, I don't
think so. That's absurd.
She was partying with Leo DiCaprio and all those, probably Diddy.
Yeah.
And now she's living in a tent.
Yeah.
Would you advise her to start an OnlyFans?
I don't know if I'd advise her to do that, but I would advise her to stop living in a tent.
I mean, get a job.
Because that's a terrible way to live.
Get a job at Slim Chickens or something.
I don't even want to live in a tent for one night, let alone that's my permanent domicile. No, thank you. Right. A tent?
I'm out on tents. It's very uncomfortable. Unless you're at the beach.
I don't even know if I believe that.
Dude, they got pictures of her.
Oh, I see that, but she could just be making the story up.
You
just
think
to get some attention.
Made up?
I don't know.
Some ADs.
She doesn't look like she's I mean, she looks like she's
She
healthy
says she gets a little bit of modeling work, but the high cost of living has made it so that she can't afford.
So what, she just pitches her tent somewhere.
She lives out
England?
In a rural part of England. You look like you see other hippies that are living in their tents.
She lives in like a compound, like a hippie compound.
You see some other like they almost look like teepees.
Okay,
she should go work at Hooters. That'd be a great idea for her.
I thought Hooters were like I thought they were shuttering. Is Hooters shuttering?
Oh, they're shuttering a lot.
They are. Yeah.
Oh, damn. Maybe not.
I mean, it's much more living in 2008. Talking about.
Do you and your boys go to Hooters?
No, but I've been before. I was in Florida like 3 or 4 years ago. We stopped by one of the afternoons.
Right. Yeah. Were you in heaven? Did you think it was amazing?
It was incredible. It was a great experience.
I think you guys, only a few of them are closing. Some of them are packed all the time.
Are there
one in Chantilly is slammed on during the weekends NFL.
Why?
There's one, a brand new one in Fairfax.
Why?
The Wings.
People guess, yeah.
Like, I love the Wings.
But, I mean, is it just
you think,
like,
you think boobs aren't popular?
I'm out on them in the pantyhose.
Restaurants are making a comeback?
Not a comeback, but I think it's hanging in there.
Okay. Evergreen kids.
Yeah. Sure. Evergreen.
So who stands are the main clientele? Just like fat, dopey guys?
Yeah. Like Valdez's.
Yeah. I don't know. Season listeners?
Hey, you know what? Sydney Sweeney might have brought them back.
Guys with testosterone?
I'm out on
not that. Not on, you know, guys who just punted life and eating sugar all day and drinking cocktails
on pantyhose. I think it's repulsive.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one guy who doesn't find those waitresses somewhat attractive.
Especially,
I'm not saying they're not attractive.
Years,
I don't like the
especially when they put hearts all over the check.
Hey,
looks like it's still there in Fairfax.
I'm not looking at the pantyhose.
I can't.
You can't get past
so
it.
It's so weird. I
it's too much for you.
Yes.
You want to see their pale legs?
Huh? Yeah.
You want to see their pale legs and their freckles and pimples?
Yeah, yeah. I would rather
ingrown hairs.
Yeah. Let's go to Tim real quick in Arlington. He wants to chime in on the whole Christine Brennan situation, asking questions about the Caitlin Clark incident. Tim, what's up, buddy?
Hi.
Hey.
Clearly, what the Players Association is doing to Brennan, of all people, is kind of ridiculous. But I think you have to see the larger context. I mean, since before Clark came into the league, the narrative was formed that the lesbians are coming after our Caitlin. And so everything has been fly-sect. And every incident has basically proving the argument going in.
So hold on. So you're saying it hasn't been a racial thing. It was a sexuality thing.
It was racial as well. I mean, it's Jason Whitlock and Dan Dockich and all the people who are trying to get 1,000 YouTube subscribers.
I'd rather talk about restaurants personally. I don't know.
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that was a thing. Why?
No, it's not you. He just didn't say anything.
You know what that guy was? He was a ratings killer. That person.
But why didn't it happen with Sabrina Ionescu? I mean, she's a popular. She's a heterosexual.
I don't know.
She's married to a dude.
She didn't get the kind of run. I know she has sneakers.
No,
I
know she
famous,
didn't get the Caitlin Clark run.
Yeah.
But if it's all anti-hetero, I mean, why wouldn't she get an attack?
I don't know.
Not sure.
She never got that treatment.
All right, when we come back, we'll get back into the NFL. Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, he'll join us next. Let's head to the BetQL guest hotline. Say good morning to Brian Baldinger, Odyssey NFL Insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Good morning, Baldy. How are you?
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry I wasn't there earlier. I was trying to sneak in a workout, guys, and I blanked. But I'm doing good. I'm all set.
No
I'm
worries.
Up and running here pretty good.
Hey, nice. Baldy, I didn't realize this. I first time I've ever clicked on your Wikipedia page, and I just didn't know the history. You got two brothers that played in the NFL?
Oh, yeah. We were the first three-brother combination back in the 80s. It was pretty good.
That's pretty awesome.
It lasted a good long while, man. Yeah, we get on the phone after every game and kind of catch up with each other, see what happened. Played against each other a couple of times. It was fun. It was a good run for us.
Very cool. Now, I know every week we're talking to you about Jaden, but he keeps impressing. Can this continue? Is there more he can do?
You know what's funny is, so I'm watching it the other day against Arizona, and I've known Cliff Kingsbury a long time. And I used to do Big 12 games and be out in Lubbock, and Cliff was a coach. And I go in there on a Friday, you know, the day before a game, and he'd always have, you know, 10, 12 plays up on the whiteboard. And, you know, I'd go over there and examine what he's doing. And but his play sheets, even at Texas Tech and at Arizona, his head coach at Arizona, the play sheet was like an index card. Now I look at him, and he's got like a bigger play sheet. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest play sheet I've ever seen. I'm saying he must be giving, you know, Jaden more and more, because it looks like he can handle more and more right now. And so, like, to answer your question, is there more? Yeah, there's more. Because Cliff never stops coming up with ideas, plays, designs, formations, motions, movements. It never really ends for Cliff. So I think there is a lot more to go.
Hey, Baldy, if you had just been plunked down in front of your TV and you had no idea which quarterback was which when you're watching that Arizona-Washington game,
yep,
and you looked at the screen and said, which of these quarterbacks has played four games in his career or is playing his fourth game, and which one is playing the 69th game of his career, you would have pointed at Jaden Daniels saying, well, that guy's near 70 starts, and Kyler Murray's near four. Like, especially after watching the first drive that Arizona put together, where they just went right down the field on the Washington defense, and all of us are like, uh-oh, the defense is going to rear its ugly head again. We're going to give up 35-plus. They stoned them after that drive. Like, what did you see from Kyler Murray where he just kind of went into a shell? He was running around back there, wasn't willing to take off and rush with the ball. Like, it was kind of a confusing performance by Kyler Murray.
I totally agree that Jaden looked like the much more polished player that played a lot longer. You know, there's no question when you watch the game, you see that. They just stall, you know. I mean, they just can't they couldn't sustained drives. They couldn't get any big plays. And, you know, this is a Washington defense that had given up 9 touchdown passes. They looked like they were going to, you know, be worse than they were a year ago. And they couldn't get anything over their head. They really didn't, you know, they were without their tight end, Trey McBride, which is a difference. He's a big part of their offense. They ran the ball decently, but they just couldn't sustain drives. And Kyler missed throws. You know, you're 3 and out, you know, and Washington's going up and down the field on you. Pretty soon you fall behind real quickly. And then it becomes really difficult against anybody in this league right now.
So how do you feel about the Browns game this weekend? Cleveland's 1-3. They can't score. I don't think they've scored more than 18 in a game. Doesn't look like Nick Chubb's going to go yet. Deshaun played pretty well last week, but you know, they kind of rely on their defense to hold teams down.
Well, their defense is excellent. I mean, this is a good challenge. I mean, these guys play a ton of man coverage. It doesn't matter if you're throwing McLaurin or, you know, you're throwing to, you know, Noah Brown or Luke McCaffrey. They're going to man you up. And, you know, you got a beast out there. You know, you got a rookie left tackle, and you're going to see Myles Garrett out there. So you got to have a plan. You have a plan every play because he can blow it up real quick. But they've got really good defensive players. They got really good schemes. Jim Schwartz is a heck of a coach. He was good last week against the Raiders. But offensively, they're just struggling right now. The Raiders played really hard defensively without Max Crosby. It was probably their best overall defensive performance I've seen in a long time from them. And up until the end, you know, Cleveland had a good shot. You know, they actually went ahead in the game on a 70-yard Amari Cooper touchdown pass that got called back because of a pretty questionable hold. So they were right in it to the end. Even on the 4th-and-3 at the very end, they had a chance. And Deshaun Watson got hit when he threw it. But, you know, they're that team like Carolina a couple weeks ago that's just scratching, looking to get a win like Jacksonville right now. And so you're going to get their best shot. Nobody wants to go 0-5. Nobody wants to start. They play Philly next week here in Philadelphia. I mean, they're just going to scratch and claw for a win. Defensively, though, they're a pretty good football team, and you have to take them serious. And so it'll be a good challenge for Jaden Daniels, the way Jim Schwartz likes to play and the way he blitzes and pressures teams.
Mm-hmm. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So it should be a fun one tonight in Atlanta, 8:15, as the Bucs take on the Falcons. I mean, Baker Mayfield's numbers are pretty eye-popping. He's already passed for nearly 1,000 yards on the season, 8 touchdowns, just 2 picks. Godwin is having a really good year. Liam Cohen has kind of waved his magic wand over this offense. What do you expect to happen tonight between Bucs-Falcons?
Well, the Falcons won a game last week. They didn't score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't score an offensive touchdown.
They got an interception return for a touchdown. They got a special teams, you know, gaff at the 3-yard line, recovered it in the end zone for a touchdown. That's all they got. This is an important game for Atlanta because Tampa can start running away from this division if they go there and take care of business. They just wiped up the Eagles on Sunday. Man, look how the Eagles were playing without their top two receivers. So there's, you know, I mean, there's something to that for sure. But I think this is a really solid football team in Tampa. The center, Graham Barton, the rookie, is really, really a good player. The offensive line has played better. Last week, Baker got time, and like he just threaded the needle all game long, regardless what kind of coverage the Eagles had. I mean, they're a really solid football team, and they got Vita Vea back, and you know, some of the cast of characters, you know, but they're two corners. Zion McCollum right now, along with Jamel Dean. I mean, they're long. They're very talented. They really play good press coverage when they have to, and they really bothered the Eagles last week. This is important. I think that this Tyler Allgeier might be a better back than Bijan Robinson. Mm-hmm. I kind of broke it down this week. I'm interested to see if they start giving Allgeier a little bit more carries because that's what they have to do. They've got to be able to run it. They throw to Drake London. They don't really throw to a lot of other people, maybe Darnell Mooney. But Kyle Pitts is pretty invisible in this offense. This is important. Atlanta's at home here. It's a short week. You know, Tampa's coming off a big win after a disappointing loss to Denver. This is an important game in the NFC South, and I think Tampa, if they win, they can start pulling away in that division right now.
The NFL schedule hits Europe already.
Mm. Yes.
Week 5 in London, Jets, Vikings. Vikings could go 5-0 with a win. That's just shocking to me.
They could, yeah. And they look like an undefeated team, honestly. Yeah. I mean, the offense is clicking. Sam's been unreal. But, you know, the offense makes sense, and it's really diversified, and they've got no weaknesses anywhere on offense. And the defensively, Brian Flores had Green Bay literally dead in the water early. They threw a bunch of balls in the fourth quarter and made it a little bit closer than it really was. But this is a very complete team. However, you know, the Jets, you know, stunk it up on Sunday against Denver. It was just ugly. The weather was ugly. They were awful. They have a chance to, you know, come back and get back into the race if they can beat and feel good about themselves by beating a really good team. And that's a challenge for the Jets in this game.
Baldy, you touched on the Jags a bit earlier. 0-4, they host the Colts. They desperately need a win. If they don't get one, Peterson could be axed if they can't get this home win. Trevor Lawrence has been scattershot at best at quarterback, but he does have a young emerging talent in Brian Thomas Jr. That dude just pops off the screen when I see those whatever Jags highlights there are. He's usually at the center of them. How do you handicap this game?
Well, I mean, look, the Jags would have beaten Houston in Houston last week. They can't gain a stinking yard. You know, it showed up last year in Week 18 against Tennessee. They couldn't gain a yard. Could have won that game and won the division. They're down the 1-yard line last week after Bixby goes 58 yards. They're down at the 1. They can't score from the 1. And so they come away with nothing, and Houston goes down and wins the game. But Brian Thomas, I mean, if Trevor could connect with him deep, I mean, he would have 3 touchdowns last week instead of 1. I mean, Trevor has been, you know, his timing with the deep ball, whether it's to Kirk's or whether it's to Brian Thomas, is off. But it's clear right now, Brian Thomas can run by anybody in this business right now, anybody. And he did it last week. They got to, you know, they start connecting on some of these shots, the offense is going to open up a little bit.
Bills, Texans, big game, both 3-1. Big one. Nico Collins already has almost 500 yards receiving, which leads the league by a bunch.
Amazing.
But this is a big one. Yeah.
It is a big one. And honestly, when you look at Houston, they're a 20-point offense right now. And you're like, why? Because CJ's playing good, but you watch him last week and against Jacksonville. I mean, they lead the league in penalties. And when you watch that game, you go, oh, that's why they lead the league in penalties. They're constantly putting themselves – erasing good plays and putting themselves into bad situations. And a lot of the penalties are on the offensive line. And so if they get that cleaned up, they're going to look like a pretty good football team. But they commit penalties like that against Buffalo, they're going to get it handed to them, and Buffalo will win that game.
Baldy, I think I'm looking at the NFL version of melatonin, 4:05 p.m. kick from Denver, Raiders at the Broncos. The total on this game is 35.5. Of course, you have the Devontae Adams rumors swirling. Looks like he won't go in this game. A pretty big game in the AFC West, so both these teams 2-2.
And the Raiders have won 8 in a row against Denver. And Denver's defense is for real. And mm-hmm. so the over seems like a lot for me. Like, this looks like a 16-13, 13-10 game. I don't expect much from Denver's offense. The Raiders' defense played really hard last week. They played the way they're supposed to play. But I think Denver is in a position right now. I think their defense is very, very confident in what they're doing. The way that they pressure, the players that they have, their secondary is excellent. The front is ridiculous. John Franklin Myers, Zach Allen, DJ Jones, those guys are playing great football right now. I expect Denver to take care of business. They were on the road for two straight weeks. They beat a really good Tampa team. They went to West Virginia. They practiced all week. It was like going back to training camp. They went up to the Jets and kept them out of the end zone the whole game. I expect Denver to win this game. It's going to be close. I would take the under, but I feel like the Broncos can break this the stranglehold that the Raiders had on him.
Real quick, before we let you go, your thoughts on Davante Adams, and he looks like he's played his last game with the Raiders, I think. Where do you think he ends up?
He's frustrated. He's frustrated. You know, the quarterback situation there, the offense isn't very good. You know, he doesn't get fed enough. And so, you know, like, he's getting towards the end of his career. He doesn't look like he can still separate. He can still run his routes, but he doesn't look like he's got much speed left when you just watch him play. And it's part of the problem. And so, look, he's still going to catch everything that's thrown to him, but he's got to go someplace, if he does, if he can, with somebody with an elite quarterback skill. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I know nobody wants to trade in their own division, but Kansas City really needs a receiver bad. I can't believe the Raiders would do that. But, you know, I mean, I think there's going to be some takers. I just don't know what the compensation at this point is going to be for him at this stage of his career.
Baldy, thanks as always, man. We'll touch base with you again next week.
Thank you, buddy.
Look forward to talking to you guys. Take care, man. Enjoy it.
That was Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo Game Day. Be delicious. We're the Junks. We'll be right back.